Electra shared his parrot story. I love parrot stories. A brilliant magician was performing in an ocean liner. But every time he did a trick, the captain's parrot would shout, "It's a trick, it's a trick, it's a phony. That's not magic." Then one evening during a storm, the ship sank while the magician was performing his magic tricks. The parrot and the magician ended up in the same lifeboat. For several days, they just glared at each other, neither one saying a word to the other. Finally, the parrot said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with that ship?" The parrot couldn't explain the last trick. It was too much to comprehend, even for a smart parrot. Peter, James, and John had a moment like that, on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was just too much for them to handle. As the scripture was read this morning, you have a glimpse to understand what went on. Today we celebrate the miracle of Transfiguration. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Matthew in his gospel shared that Jesus took three of his disciples up onto the mountain, and before their eyes, the very eyes, he was engulfed by the glory of God's presence. In the presence of such glory, his clothes, scripture says, turned white as light, and his face shines like the sun. Moses and Elijah appear and talked with Jesus. These historical men of faith have been long gone, as you could remember. Imagine that Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the greatest prophet, were brought back. Moses, 1,200 years before Jesus. Elijah, 850 years before Jesus. Jesus was talking with these famous historical figures face to face. As you can imagine, we're talking about 200 years, and sometimes we would like to go back 200 years and talk to some of those folks, interview, ask how it was, and what things were like. I can't imagine talking with Moses and Elijah. And then the disciples hear this word from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Of course, after being stunned and down on their face, the disciples are invited by Jesus to go down the mountain. And Peter spoke up and said, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be up here." He loved the moment. He said, "Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter, of course, did not want to go down. This was exciting. Being in God's presence, seeing Moses and Elijah. I just want to pause there and look at what it means to us today. The Transfiguration, it is such an important part of our faith. Many mainline believers are not quite certain what to do with the Old Testament. Sometimes the Old Testament is so ignored. The Old Testament is the foundation of our faith, on which the New Testament is built on. And here, see what Jesus says himself. He says in Matthew 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." That's Jesus' own words. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So here we have the transfiguration, the transforming moments. Elijah, Moses the lawgiver. This is kind of passing on the baton, if you will. You know, Jesus has been trying to convince them of who he was. And as you read the Gospels, you know, boy, it was not an easy task, was it? He had to go to the cross, but that was part of the plan, part of God's plan. But here, God brings them together, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And they were talking. They were there together, all in a glorified body. And to watch that scene, there were three disciples, just three. I always question, why just three? I mean, he should have taken all 12 to the mountaintop to experience this wonderful awe moment. No, Jesus just chose three. They heard the voice in the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. There, God is showing Elijah, Moses, Jesus, and telling them, okay, guys, listen to him. Listen to him. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. You know, even today, the Jews, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, yes, they take parts of the Old Testament. There are those prophets. They acknowledge the prophets. They acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, but they do not connect him as the Lord and Savior. And here is the moment at Transfiguration on that mountaintop. God shares with his disciples that moment. That moment, Moses and Elijah. What was more important is that their ministries had been fulfilled. They went through hard times, if you could recall Moses and Elijah. You know, they stood firm. And they're encouraging Jesus, kind of encouraging him, you know, all what they were talking, to encourage him to know that God is going to be there for Jesus as well. Matthew records simply that they were talking, and Luke, you know, gives a little bit more insight in Luke 9:31. Luke says, it's the one who tells us that they talked about his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. So that gives a glimpse about the cross and death and resurrection, I'm sure. Encouraging Jesus. They were preparing Jesus for the task before him. My friends, it is comfortable to stay at the mountaintop experience, isn't it not? There is Peter, says, Lord, why don't we settle down here? This is great, you know, the presence of God. Let's just build a tent. But Jesus invites them and comes down the mountain. Comes down that experience. He comes down to the valley. As you recall, it was just only three of them heard, saw. It wouldn't still help them until the resurrection. You know, so Jesus tells them, it's okay, don't, it's okay. Just wait till after resurrection to tell your friends, because they wouldn't understand. Even Peter, James, and John are confused. They couldn't put it all together. So he tells them, it's okay, just be quiet and you could tell about this later. You know, when you come down to the valley, it's different, isn't it? It's different. You sometimes wonder if God is still there. Is he still talking to me? Is he still alive? You know, we go through that. We question. Most of you know Mother Teresa struggled with her faith during most of her great ministry. And in another place I read, 50 years. She said she walked in dry land in the valley. She wrote to a friend, a priest. She said, Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness are so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. Mother Teresa gave herself as completely as anyone on this earth is likely to give himself or herself. But still, she struggled like Peter, James, and John, struggling even after the transfiguration in which they heard the very voice of God. That's life, isn't it? We always think we've got to have a transfiguration every day, right? We do devotions and, yep, it's got to be like exciting. And if it is not, we feel like, oh, well, it's one of those days. My friends, your Christian walk is based on faith, not feelings. Yes, there are some feelings that comes on the journey, but it's not there every single day. Paul, in Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, says, for now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I also am known. This walk, this journey, is rough, isn't it? It's not going to be transfiguration moments. Don't be discouraged. Mother Teresa encourages me. You know, 50 years of her ministry, she felt like, okay. But she was faithful. She was faithful. People didn't know that. They saw Christ in her. We are not going to have mountaintop experiences every day or every month or once a week. It might be once. It might not be. God might choose. Again, I always asked, why did God only choose three? Didn't he have 12 disciples? God chose three. We all do what we can do to avoid suffering, don't we? Peter was saying that we all think, who needs the cross? He told that to Jesus, did he? Just a short time later, Peter would be denying. He never knew Jesus. To those folks who were sitting by the fireplace, James and John would be hiding behind closed doors. I mean, these guys were at that transfiguration moment. They had the experience. But they were just like you and I, just you and me. We cannot explain that, could we? Jesus praised Simon Peter. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things. And Peter says, never, Lord. No, this shall never happen to you. Can you imagine Peter saying that? Jesus turns and says to him, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Peter was trying to understand. One moment he's the rock, and the next Peter is Satan. Now a week later, he's up on a mountain offering to build booths for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Friends, Simon Peter is us. We're just as wishy-washy in our faith. One moment we feel so close to God that we are willing to give Him all that we are and hope to be the best. In a time of testing, we deny that we ever knew Him. How do you explain that? There is only one way. The disciples were human. They were human, just like you and me. And Jesus understands us. We do have our rough moments. But the transformation takes place gradually. It takes place in each one of us when we first come to know Him, when we first accept Him as our Lord and Savior. It takes, as we yield ourselves more and more, God works in us and transforms us. It is a process. I read in the Upper Room, most of you do that devotional. This was in March, April in 1992. She writes this, she says, store clerks were often rude to me, but I attributed it to the notion that they weren't getting paid enough. After Kathleen accepted Jesus Christ into her life, it seemed that the whole world changed. Store clerks became nicer, she wrote. The sun shone brighter. Birds chirped more cheerily. Flowers bloomed more beautifully. Of course, I thought the world had changed, she recalled. I didn't realize until a few years later that it was I who had been changing. I was different. I had softened. It wasn't the store clerks who had become friendlier. I had. The sun didn't shine any brighter, Kathleen reflected. I was just more aware of it. Birds had chirped when I had been in a grumpy mood, but more likely they had only annoyed me. And of course, the flowers had always bloomed, but I hadn't noticed their sweet fragrance and appreciated a peach-colored rose opening its delicate petals to the sun. I changed when Jesus came into my life. And He continues to change me and to delight me every day, she writes. My friends, transformation, transforming is a process. You know, the more we yield, the more we give up ourselves to Christ, Christ is able to take us, use us, mold us, shape us, to make us like Him. Believe me, we're just like Peter, James, and John. We'll deny Him. We'll run away and hide. We have our dry spells, dry moments. But you know what? Jesus is with us. His Holy Spirit is with us. He will empower us. He will inspire us. no matter whether we feel it or not, He is with us. So may this year continue to be a time of transformation as we yield to His Holy Spirit, that He will mold us and make us after His will. Amen.